And so regularly we have to challenge ourselves and think about the pressures that culture is putting on us and think about ways that we can renew our mind to be more like Christ. And so tonight, that is my goal with this lesson. Now, I must admit, the lesson title is a little bit clickbaity, a little bit wanting you to think about it. And my goal with this lesson is to handle this topic completely scripturally. And I know like a title like this might give you some red flags. You might say, okay, we haven't heard it. Where is he going to pull this from? The goal is to do a deep dive into Scripture tonight. But I'm 28. In the last 20 years, let's say from the time I was 8 until now, I have never heard a lesson preached on gluttony. I can't think of a time that I've heard it in a Bible class. Maybe I missed out on the Philippians Bible class. And it would be very funny if this was preached in the last couple of months and I was out that Sunday. And again, small sample size, right? 28 years old, not that old. But kind of surprised that I've never heard this be preached at all. My goal is, again, to look deep into Scripture. I want to give you an outline of where we're going, because we're going to be fairly kind of nose down into our Bibles tonight. I'm going to share a lot of passages, and we're going to be moving fairly quickly. If you'd like, I would be happy to send you this slide deck, as well as any of my notes on all of this. So the first thing we are going to need to address is food something that is in the scope of Scripture? When we're talking about something as mundane as this, first question is, does the Bible have any purview over such a simple topic like food? And then I'm going to go into looking at sort of a spectrum of places that we could, or ways that we could think about food in our lives. A couple of extreme positions. And then hopefully we'll arrive at a middle ground that I think Scripture speaks to as well. And then, very briefly, we'll mention another secret topic that isn't preached on very much that I'd like to share with you as well. So, is food in the scope of the Bible? Well, I would say absolutely so. There are a lot of direct laws that are given to God's people throughout the Bible regarding the food that they are allowed to eat or their mindset, how their mindset should be toward food. What probably, hopefully, pops into your mind whenever I talk about food laws is the law of Moses, right? If you look at Leviticus chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 14, there is extensive rules that God's people, the Jews, in the Old Testament time, had to follow regarding things that they could and could not eat, even the ways that it was prepared, the times that it was prepared. There's a lot of litigation in the old law about food. So that seems to be a topic that is of interest to God. Outside of the law of Moses, we see a law that was given to, Noah, in Genesis chapter 9, right after he gets off of the ark, and that is not to eat meat with the blood in it. And that law is reiterated in Acts chapter 15, if you remember, with the conference where they were dealing with circumcision and whether or not Gentiles had to be circumcised to become Christians. And if you remember, that was one of the very few things that was communicated out to the churches from that meeting was, hey, don't eat meat with the blood still in it. There's a lot of food-related sins or issues throughout the Bible. Here's a couple that I was thinking of whenever I was coming up with this lesson. Israel complaining in the wilderness. There are multiple instances where they were bemoaning the fact that they didn't have bread or they didn't have meat. And oh boy, we had it so much better back in Egypt. We see other instances like the sons of Eli, who were priests who stole food from the offerings that were meant to go to God and gorging themselves on that. There's discussions in the New Testament of meat sacrificed to idols, right? So that was an issue in the New Testament time of whether or not that is something that is okay for a Christian to eat if it was used in some sort of ritual before being sold. And then another here, selfish eating of the Lord's Supper. Even the Lord's Supper, which Christ established, can be twisted and has been twisted. But, hopefully, a lot of you are thinking about this, there's one really big one that I forgot, and that is the very first sin. The first sin that man ever committed was eating. Isn't that kind of something that, that's not something I think about. So there is a very core aspect of all of this that the Bible speaks to throughout the Bible. We're going to look at several passages, but just remember that in Genesis 3, verse 6, it says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit." Right? So she saw it as something that was going to be good to eat. So let's look at Philippians chapter 3. This is really going to be our key verse tonight. So I'd invite you to turn there and stick a marker there, because we're going to address it here briefly, but then we're going to come back to this. So in Philippians 3, please read with me starting in verse 17. It says, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." I want you to note, I've highlighted a few phrases in this. Look at the way that this concept of one whose God is their belly is handled. Note that they're described as enemies of the cross of Christ. People whose God is their belly, their end is destruction. They are ones who have shame. They've set their minds on earthly things. And notice that there's a contrast between Paul and the Philippians saying that our citizenship is in heaven. So let's put this all together. Is gluttony a real sin? And what I mean when I say real sin, I mean, is gluttony a sin that will keep you from going to heaven if you do not repent of it and if it is a characteristic of your life? What do you think? Because this passage, I think, clearly says that if you make your God your belly, you are Christ's enemy and your end is destruction. So now we have some real stakes about this topic. This is not a topic that we can afford to plug our ears and close our eyes and pretend like